It is in my heart this morning and again tonight to say something about the love of God. The love of God. Of course, it's such a vast subject. I would apologize right at the beginning. I'll not do it any justice. If anything, I'll make a mess of it. Because I'm just going to take my little finger and scratch the surface. Of course, the songwriter summed it up best. He said, if I was to explain the love of God, and he said, if I had a parchment to write on that was the size of the sky stretched from corner to corner, and he said, if I had an inkwell that was the size of all the ocean, he said, the sky would be too small. And he said, I'd drain the oceans dry just to write the love of God. It's too vast of a subject. But I would like to this morning to share some thoughts about love's beginning work. Love's beginning work. Of course, if we're going to look at a subject like the love of God in the Bible, it would be good for us to go and look at the law of first mention and the law of last mention. And I'd like to do that this morning. I'd like to look at the first two times love is mentioned in the Bible and the last two times. I tell you, when you look at a book as vast as the Bible and you see the first two times love's mentioned in the Bible and the last two times, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible. The way He has the ability of crossing His T's and dotting His I's. Putting everything together. I'm interested in three thoughts this morning. I want to look at the Father's love for the Son. That's where love began. The Father loving the Son. And then I'd like to look at the Son's love for the bride, His people. And then I'd like to look at the bride's love for the Son. Beginning this morning in the first time love is ever mentioned in the Bible. Genesis chapter number 22. Verses 1 and 2 we find there is a father's love, Abraham, who is such a beautiful picture of God the Father. In his love for his son Isaac, who is such a beautiful picture of Christ. The Father's love for the Son. The Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou... Here it is. First time love's mentioned in the Bible. Whom thou lovest. Father's love for son. Get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I notice in this father's love for the son, I notice that it is an exclusive love. It is not a love that includes. No, 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 no. It is a love that excludes. You better be careful throwing that love stuff around. God loves everybody. Love is often exclusive, not inclusive. It began with the Father's love for the Son. He said in verse 2, and He said, take now thy Son, thy only Son. Time out, hold on! I got a problem. I thought Abraham had two boys. Ishmael, which was his firstborn, and Isaac, which was the second boy that he had, according to the Scriptures. I didn't know if you noticed or not, but God don't think he's got but one boy. It is an exclusive love, not an inclusive love. We are now having the problem that we're having in Iraq this morning because they haven't woke up to the fact that they're not God's promised son. That land doesn't belong to them. He said, take now thy son, thine only son. I'm interested in that little word only. It's the word beloved. It is the word darling. It is the word that has the indication that life would be desolate without this one. The little word means to unite two, making them one. Love began today when the Father loved the Son. Could I run a little question by you this morning? I don't want you to get emotional and do anything, you know, wild. But this is yes. This is no. This is chiropractic. Do you believe that God the Father and God the Son, one and the same person? This is the answer to that question. The Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, would do this. That's why they're going to hell when this is over with. And if you're doing this, that's why you're going to hell when this is over with. God the Father, God the Son, one and the same person. Well, God the Father loved God the Son. That's where love began. That means that He loved Himself. It's awful egotistical to love yourself, isn't it? No, it's not egotistical if you're God because there was nobody else to love but yourself. And God being love, He had no one else to love but Himself. The high priestly prayer, Jesus made this statement in John 17, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that Thou whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou gavest me, for Thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. God the Father has allowed me to get in on an exclusive love that He only had for His Son. He had it for nobody else. And He allowed me to get in on it. I was wondering, does God have that kind of love for you? It is an exclusive love. It is not a love that He has for everybody. It is a love that He only had for His Son when it began. But He has allowed you or I to get in on that exclusive love through what is called the new birth, being born from above. We've had for so long a decision-based salvation preached to us that God is up in heaven ring. Oh, gracious, I hope they pray soon, get saved, they're going to go to hell. It's not so. Some of you this morning have been down the Romans Road, made professions, you still going to hell when this is over with. You listening to me? We ought to can the Romans Road. You need to go down to Damascus Road. You need to get kicked off the high horse of your pride. You need to get blinded with Holy Ghost conviction. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost take you over to the street called straight and turn the lights on in you. Are you listening to me? You can pray prayers until you blue in the face, but it ain't changed you. You the still same old Joe and old Sue that you've always been. I tell you what, if you've ever got in on an exclusive love that God the Father had for God the Son, there'll be a radical difference in your life. Are you listening to me? Father's love for the Son. It was an exclusive love. But I notice in our text in verse 2, it was an expensive love. Very expensive love. Notice what it says. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him. It is an expensive love. That little word offer means to burn up while lifting up. Burn up while lifting up. Hebrews says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sin, then for the people, for he did this once when he offered up himself. Christ was lifted up and consumed for his people. It's an expensive love. It was offered for me. I love what old Billy Kelly said years ago. He says that it was a price not worth the purchase. Are you listening to me? A price not worth the purchase. I have bought some things and got home, realized I got took. You ever bought anything, got home, got it out of the box, looked at it and said, this is junk. I got took. Do you realize this morning that he knew while he was buying us, he was purchasing junk and knew he was getting took while he did it? Oh, love that will not let me go. I'm talking about his love. I'm telling you, Noah didn't hold him to the cross. It was the love that the Father had for the Son, allowing us to get in on that exclusive, expensive love this morning. I tell you, we ought to stop right now, you and I that have gotten in on that love. We ought to just take us a run around the building and let the rest of them sit in amazement. I'm talking about exclusive love. I'm talking about expensive love. But could I mention this in chapter 22 and verse number 2? It was an extreme love. What? Extreme. Notice what he said. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a what? No! Not that offering. God, you've got 5 other offerings you could ask of him. Don't ask that one. That is the most horrendous of them all. You mean to tell me you want him to take the boy, tie him all fours down? You want to insert the knife below the goozle, open him all the way up to the end of the belly? You mean to tell me you want to cut the body parts out while they're still moving, heart still beating, lungs still breathing? Cut them out and put them up underneath of the altar. Then set the whole thing on fire. That's what you want? Yes. It was an extreme love. Christ's death on the cross. I tell you what, some of you have been to Mel Gibson's version. Some of you need to go to Calvary's version. Huh? That movie, all it did was depict how he died. If that's all you got this morning, you're still going to hell. It's why he died that is so important. It was an extreme love. Matter of fact, he said in Psalms 22, he said that his heart exploded inside of him. And he said it melted like wax and ran into his bowels. Pretty hard for you to see that on a picture show. I'm telling you, oh, love that will not let me go.
God the Father. In His love for God the Son, and in love for His people, He went to an extreme this morning. Allowed me to get in on a love that was not inclusive, but a love that was exclusive. A love that was extensive. A love that was extreme. How come? Because I love Him? No! Because the Father loved the Son. He's the only reason I got in on it. And because the Father had placed the people in the Son before time began. I feel like I want to shout. I'm talking about the Father's love for the Son. You got your Bible there? Genesis chapter 24. Second time love's mentioned in the Bible. The Son's love for the bride. Here, chapter 22, Isaac has been offered. Isaac died. Isaac was raised from the dead. What? Preacher, I've read Genesis 22. I've never seen that. You ought to read it from the perspective of Hebrews chapter 11. God the Father said in Hebrews chapter 11 that He offered Isaac, that He killed him. That's the way God the Father saw it. When Abraham raised the knife, He said He killed him. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Huh? See, God sees the intention of the heart, and He registers as so. Whoa! Isn't that so good? So, now, Isaac has died, been buried, and he's arisen from the dead. He comes back down off the mountain with his daddy. Now, in chapter 24, they send for him a bride. You would almost think God wrote the Bible, wouldn't you? Chapter 22, he dies, buried, and is risen again. Chapter 24, he begins to look for a bride. The Son's love for a bride. Second time love is mentioned in the Bible. Have you got it there? Last verse, chapter 24, verse 67. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. You remember Abraham sent the servant. Abraham's a picture of God the Father. Servant, a picture of God the Holy Ghost. Sent him down there to get a bride. You can't get in if God the Holy Ghost don't come get you. Huh? You listening to me? Some of you made professions, prayed prayers, joined churches, did all kind of little nifty things, and you call it your salvation. Oh, God the Holy Ghost got to be there. Got to be some wind blowing. Got to be conviction there. He says, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, took Rebekah, she became his wife, and he loved her. Second time, Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Second time, love is mentioned in the Bible. Not the Father's love for the Son, but the Son's love for the bride. What kind of love was it? I notice in the text that it was an anticipating love. An anticipating love. Did you notice in verse number 67, and he loved death? I didn't know if you'd see that ED or not. He's not laid his eyes on her yet, but he already loved her. ED on a Bible word means there's a past action guaranteeing a present result. You know how come you got saved when you got saved? Is because God started loving you in eternity past. When God the Father loved God the Son, He loved those people that were inside of Him. That's why His mama said, let's call Him Jesus. How come? He'll save His people from their sin. Isn't that good? It is an anticipating love. Watch the anticipation. Before Rebekah gets there, what is Isaac the son doing? Verse 63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time, lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. The Bible says that before she got there, he went out into the field and sat down and was meditating. He was sitting out there and he was thinking. What was he thinking about? He was thinking about the Arab and Jew relationship. See how they... No. He was wondering how what Russia was going to do, what Social Security. No. He was the wondering. He was so glad Bush had got in there. Man, that was a close. No. He wasn't thinking about that. No! He ain't thinking about that this morning either. He's meditating on his bride. What's he thinking about? He is anticipating her coming. Huh? Hey, he's anticipating you coming there more than we are leaving here. Huh? That little word meditate means to fix the gaze upon, fix the mind upon. Hey, do you have any evidence this morning at all God's thinking about you? Huh? I was thinking about that this morning. We stopped coming up the road. Saw so many people just going on normal, doing a little Christmas shopping and stuff. He said in the last days that man will not give God a thought. Many of you have given God a thought since the last time you were here? I mean, just sit around and thought about God. I don't know about you, but do you know that that's all God does? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thinks about His people. That's all He ever does. Jeremiah said this, "And I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring about an expected end." All God does is think about me. And I don't know, He's about got me convinced that I'm the only one He thinks about. Huh? He's got me about convinced that I'm the only child. Huh? Oh, He's thinking about me. I've heard that old slogan before. I got something on my chest and I want to get it off. Hey! He's got me on his chest and He don't want to get me off! I got something on my heart, preacher. I just got to get it off. Hey! He's got me on His heart and He don't want to get me off! Do you have confident assurance this morning that God is thinking about you and working your life out to His glorious plan? It is an anticipating love this morning. He is anticipating my... Hey, you see all the decorations up for His birth? He's got the streets all decorated up there for a wedding. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't doubt that Gabriel is not licking the inside of the horn, getting it ready to blow for the coming of the King. The bride is on her way. I'm a loving the hound out of that, aren't you? Huh? Oh, anticipating. But I notice in the text, it is an authoritative love. It is an authoritative love. I notice in this text in chapter 24 and verse number 9, every time that the servant mentions Abraham, he calls him master. Watch it. Verse 9, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master. Servant, picture of the Holy Ghost. Called Abraham the father, picture of God the Father. He called him master. We're talking about an authoritative love. Don't miss it. So good I hate to even show it to you. Look at verse 12. He said, O Lord God of my master, Abraham. He's calling Abraham master. Look at verse 14. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, lay down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. She shall say, drink. I will give thy camels also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Therefore shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. He's calling Abraham. Master, master. Got the Bible there? Look at verse 27. He said, blessed be the Lord God of my master, Abraham. Again, verse number 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. Verse 35. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly. Again, in verse number 39. And I say unto my master, he keeps calling Abraham, master, master. Look at chapter 24, verse number 64. Rebekah lifted up her eyes when she saw Isaac. Watch the text now. They come riding in on the camels now. She sees Isaac out there meditating, and she says to the servant, she says, who's that? I'm interested in what he says about who is he. Look at verse 65. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? The servant had said, it is my. What? Time out. Hold on. He called Abraham master. And he's calling Isaac master. Has he got these two guys mixed up? No. He can't tell one from the other. He thinks they're both the same person. Whoa. That mess of Jehovah's Witness all up, wouldn't it? Huh? Oh, gracious. That'll mess a Mormon all up, wouldn't it? Oh, it don't mess me up. It makes me want to shout. Huh? I'm telling you, it is an authoritative love this morning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I don't mind if you want to say Jesus saves, it's all right. It's a good earthly way of looking at it. But if you want to explain my salvation, you might want to say the Trinity saves. Because God the Father chose me before the foundation of the world. God the Son died and paid a price for me. And God the Holy Ghost come and seal the deal. Huh? Talking about it being an authoritative love. Being anticipating love. But look at chapter 24, verse 67. It is an amazing love. The Bible says, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca. I was a warning, you have been took by God. Have you ever been took by God? That means you don't have any rights. You don't have any say-so. Brother David was asking me before service today about worrying, about contemplating things, trying to figure things out. See, I got took a long time ago. I ain't got no say-so about what happens to me. I ain't got no say-so how I die. I ain't got no say-so if I stay alive. I ain't got no say-so about the next second. I've been took. Oh, and I tell you, I'm enjoying the hound. You know, I hear people talk about their free will. They like to make a decision. You can have my free will. I don't want it. It done got me in enough trouble to start with. Huh? I don't want no will of my own because I've been took. It is an amazing love. Now watch this. Oh, it's so good. I hate to even show this to you. It says, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted. She became his wife. Oh, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible for sure. Crossing his T's and dotting his I's. I'm talking about it being amazing love. Do you know that all the patriarchal fathers had multiple wives? All the patriarchal fathers. Abraham, bunch of wives. Jacob, oh gracious. That's why I got that boy in trouble, had all them wives. David, multiple wives. Solomon, he come along, son, he just iced the cake. He had 1,000 wives. Do you know how many wives Isaac ever had? He only ever had one. Gracious. You'd almost think there's a God in heaven who wrote the Bible, don't you? Isaac, a picture of his darling son. Amazing love. He only ever had one bride. Oh, Jesus hadn't got but one bride this morning. Are you listening to me this morning? Huh? Hey! Everybody that's in this church this morning ain't in his church. You listening to me? You could be a member here and in good standing and still not be in his church. You must have gotten in on the Father's love for the Son and the Son's love for the bride. I'm talking about it being an amazing love. You still got the Bible? Revelation chapter 2. I'll call your attention to the last two times love is mentioned in the Bible. I wished, if I had been writing the Bible, I would have not let this been the last two times I mentioned love. I just wouldn't have done it. But I didn't know if you noticed or not, I ain't God, and I didn't write the Bible. But in His writing of the Bible, did you see the first two times He mentioned it? Father's love for the Son. Son's love for the bride. The last two times that He mentions love in the Bible, He talks about the bride. Those of you who say you are saved, this is addressed to you and I. The bride's love for the Son. Revelation chapter number 2. Notice, if you would, in Revelation chapter 2, I'll be there in a minute, it's in my Bible, the last, next to the last time, love is mentioned in the Bible. In mentioning this love about His people now, I notice there is activity, no substance. Activity, no substance. And watch it now. Chapter number 2 and verse number 2. He is writing here to the church at Ephesus. This is one of those churches of the last day. It is that church like Laodicea. I didn't know if you noted it or not, but Liberty, you're a part of the last day church. This will be the characteristic of you. Activity! What going on? No substance. They call it a mile wide and an inch deep. Watch the text. He says, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience. How canst thou not bear them which are evil? Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. Found them liars. Hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and hast not fainted. Activity. Busy, busy, busy. Taking a stand for God. So there's a lot of activity. No substance. In what? The bride's love for the son. Activity. No substance. Watch the text now. Chapter number 2, verse number 4. An alarming state, the next to the last time, love is mentioned in the Bible. I surely would not have let this be one of the last times I wrote the word love down in the Bible. Look at it. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He said, I see you busy. I see you got your King James Bible. He said, I saw you singing in the choir this morning. He said, I saw you give your tithe. He said, but I see you're a mile wide and an inch deep. How come? He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. What? First love. Honeymoon. Mesmerized love. Do you remember how you were when you first got saved? I remember what I was like when I first got married. Huh? Son, was I ever in love with a gal back there? I wouldn't pass the pay telephone without calling. And I ain't talking about it being local either. I got over it. I'm trying to get back to it. Mesmerized. Honeymoon-type love. You remember having that kind of love for him? Do you remember when you wouldn't let a day go by and reading your Bible? Huh? You got over it, didn't you? Yeah. Hey, do you remember that? Lord God, you wouldn't miss service here at Liberty Baptist. You come on Wednesday night. Yeah. You got over it, didn't you? That's what he said, I got against you. The other Sunday, had a little girl come get saved in a service. She's 7 years old. I love what she said to her mama when she got home. She said, Mama, she said, I feel so clean. Do you remember that day you got saved? Felt like you was clean. You didn't even want to reach and get a remote. You afraid you'd watch something on the TV and mess you up. You afraid you'd hear a cuss word and oh, gracious, man, I'd lose what I got with God. You got over it, didn't you? I love what else she said to her mama. She said, Mama, she said, I get to drink that juice and eat them crackers with the rest of the crowd now. Do you remember the first time you took communion? Oh, such a sweet time. Don't you remember them tears coming down your eyes when they sung at Calvary? Years I spent in vanity and pride. I don't know about you, I got over it. That's what he's got. Next to the last time he writes love in the Bible, he said, I've got some things against you. He said, I see you fundamental. He said, I see you. You got all your do's and don'ts straight. He said, but I realize you've lost your first love. There's an activity, no substance. There is an alarming state. Could I mention this last time? Love is mentioned in the Bible. There is an awakening scourge. Chapter number 3. You got the Bible? Verse number 19. I'd have been writing the Bible. This might have been the last time I'd have mentioned love. If it was for God, He said, "In as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." I was wondering this morning, God take you to His woodshed? Huh? Has God ever taken you to His woodshed and just gave you a good old-fashioned whooping? His style.
I can't remember God ever whooping me.
He don't whoop nobody but His people. You listening to me? He chastens. Oh, that little word scourge is a horrible word this morning. I don't know where it was that your mesmerized honeymoon love with Him stopped. He said, but wherever it was at, He said, go back there and get that straight and come and follow me. You know, I thought maybe this morning we'd take a love temperature for God. I got my love thermometer with me. We'll stick it in your mouth. We're going to check your love temperature for God. Well, we won't get in no hurry. We'll wait for it to go beep, 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 beep. We'll check it. We'll even hold it up to the light. Make sure we get a good measurement of your love for Him. I got it in your mouth, under your tongue. We're patiently waiting for the little beep, 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 beep. Take it out of your mouth and hold it up to the light. What you think we get? Well, Brother Gillum, what's the measurement? Well, let's say one is ice cold. 10, red hot for God. What you think yours is? I'm looking at it right now. Holding it up to the light. Hey, it's digital. It's clear as what your temperature is. Well, preacher, I tell you, I ain't no one. I know I ain't no pagan. Huh? And I know I'm not going to step out and say I'm no pen, just red hot for God. Well, what is it? I don't know, preacher. I'd say it's probably a 4, 5, or 6, somewhere in there. Oh, you're right in the middle, ain't you? You lukewarm. He had the word for you in this same text. He said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth one day. He said, I wished you was ice cold. Are red hot. He said, I can't stand that crowd in the middle. Oh, I wonder how many of us have to be honest this morning. We're with that crowd right in the middle. We ain't cold. We ain't hot. Oh, I tell you, the bride's love for the son. As I was preparing these messages, I was a-flipping through the channels the other night. You just got to keep flipping because there ain't nothing on there to watch. But they were having the 100 greatest love songs ever sung. And do you know how they were? Love me tender, love me true, all of those love songs. But I got to thinking about some of the great love songs that has been written at the church house. Thought about people that had wallered in the love of God. I'm talking about people that were probably 10 plus on the love thermometer. I come across these two ladies. I'm sure you probably have never heard of this song before. It's 150 years old. Can you imagine a song 150 years old? I'm sure you've never heard of it, especially you young people. Y'all probably never heard of it. It's just so old. These new choruses that they're writing today, contemporary, have to write one every week because somebody won't sing it next week. Well, here's a song, 150 years old. It was written by two sisters, Anne and Susan Warner, 150 years ago now. Ann and Susan Warner lost everything that they had during the Revolutionary War. They relocated to an old shack on Constitution Island on the Hudson River. There they lived in that old lean-to shack for 40 years. While they were living there, West Point Military Academy was started right across the street from their old dilapidated house. They said for 40 years, Ann and Susan Warner had military boys into their home and taught them the Bible almost every night. Neither one of them ever got married. When Ann and Susan Warner died, they gave them a full military funeral. Coffin draped with a flag, 21-gun salute. They are the only two civilians buried on the property at West Point. Everybody else buried at West Point have been in the military. They're the only two buried at West Point that were never in the military. Matter of fact, West Point redid their old shack of a house, and it is now a museum to their honor and to their credit. I'm sure you probably don't remember. They wrote this old song 150 years ago. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Hey, Anne, hey, you and Susan, find out Jesus loves you. The Bible told us so. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let this little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. You reckon them old two gals were tens on the love thermometer? I guarantee they've been wallowing in the love of God and still affecting us. I bet you somewhere in this building, some little old Sunday school teacher sung that song this morning because Ann and Susan Warner wallowed in the love of God. I was thinking, coming up the road this morning, about old Karl Barth, great theologian of yesterday. I wouldn't suggest you reading anything about Karl Barth. He was a German theologian. He was so blooming deep. He went in one side of the Bible and come out the other. All of his words, you'd have to have a dictionary to read it. So deep. And he used 4, 5, 6 syllable words. But old Karl Barth, a couple of years before he died, he decided to take a trip. It was his intentions to sit on every major coastline in the world and to meditate on, for maybe a week or so, on that coastline about God. He was gone for 2 years. When Carl returned, one of his friends said, "Carl, what's the greatest thought you had about God while you was gone?" I love what he told his friend. He said, without exception, he said, "The greatest and deepest thought that I had while I was gone was this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Oh, I tell you, that's the greatest thought you could have this morning. Would you stand with me this morning, love, beginning work?